Okay, so why don't you just tell me your name and who you're representing?
Okay. Hello, my name is Michael Cheney. I am the founder and executive director of an organization, a small nonprofit called Project Sweet Dubai.
Okay, and where are we and what are we doing here today?
We are here in North Minneapolis, or we're here in Minneapolis on the banks of the mighty Mississippi River. And we are part of a presentation about, you know, the history, the culture of development that's happening in Minneapolis and Upper Harbor in particular. And I was one of the panelists that was asked to come and talk and to do it. This afternoon we did a tour about conversations on water.
Okay. Why don't you tell me, you just said this amazing thing to me about how the project that we're participating in now is in some ways doing the work that Project Sweetie Pie is already trying to do, which is create this river infrastructure of communities.
Well, one of our, again, you know, in 2010 we came out to try to build a local food system and create some regenerative economics. And thus Project Sweetie Pie was born, the story of a community that came together, worked together for the common good of the youth and families of its community. And we, the last couple years, which was primarily looking at building pathways to higher education and building food access, the last couple years we've kind of shape-shifted, and really now the more the perspective, I call it pie squared green to the second power, and it's really looking at green infrastructure and building green infrastructure and building green enterprises.
Okay, and what about your poem? Can you tell me your poem that you open your session with?
Okay, well, I am a poet, an artist, I have much of my work is always informed by art and by my impressions of the world and what I see going on and trying to be an interpreter of reality. And so one of the things in starting Project Sweetie Pie, as we move forward to create a food corridor in a local food system, I created a small little thing called North Minneapolis is Going Green. Give us a call and learn what we mean. Where once lie urban blight, now sits luscious garden sites. Gardens without borders, classrooms without walls, architects of our own destinies, access to food, justice for all.
I hope that I get to vote for you someday.
I'm sorry?
I hope I get to vote for you someday. Sorry to interrupt.
Vote for me?
Yeah.
Am I running for office or something?
Exactly.
Oh, okay. Well, that's probably not going to happen, but... Let me give you my card, and I'd rather that you vote for the project and get involved in
terms. Of course, I would vote for the project.
Right.
Thank you so much. That was great.
Thank you.
Would you like to start again? Or?
Sure.
Yeah.
Sorry. North Minneapolis is going green. Give us a call and learn what we mean. Where once lie urban blight, now sits luscious garden sites. Gardens without borders, classrooms without walls, architects of our own destinies, access to food, justice for all. I am an activist and organizer. I've spent the last 40 years of my life trying to find real solutions for real people who are having real problems. And so I try to take abstract, you know, esoteric thought and bring it down to earth and try to find real tangible solutions for problems that people are suffering from. And so it really has always struck me that in communities of the poorest of the poor, that for many, many years prior to 2010, if I was doing what I'm doing now, I could have been arrested for just the simple mere fact of growing food. And not even talk about just growing food, but let's talk about growing food for sale, that would really be taboo. And so how in all good conscience could we create a society where people who were undereducated, underemployed, you know, under-resourced, that we were even adding insult to injury and not allowing them to grow their own food supply?
Yeah. I was super interested in what you were saying earlier about just being a once-in-a-lifetime opportunity, once-in-a this being this particular moment in time where you can reshape the narrative and change the paradigm around the way that development happens?
Well, this Upper Harbor Terminal is 48 acres, which kind of grew to, again, pi squared green to the second power. You know, that it, we can't simply, you know, there's that old adage, give a man the fish and he, you know, teach a man to fish and he eats for a lifetime, give a man a fish and he eats for the day. Mm-hmm. And that clearly hunger solutions and these charitable models are really not empowering. They're really not about building self-esteem or self-determination. They're really kind of getting people codependent. And so I, myself personally, don't see that as a viable solution to really helping people and getting people up and out of poverty. And so I, from the very onset of Project Sweet Pie, yeah, we were growing food and wanting people to get access to good food, but it was bigger, broader, more expansive than that, that it was really also talking about renewable energy. It was talking about building food enterprise, green enterprise. It was talking about building infrastructure. How can we live in a nation where there's models of community municipal liquor stores, but we can't have municipal greenhouses.
Yeah, thanks.
Is anyone
going to
cover?
Yeah,
let's
do this
out there.
Yep.
No worries.
So how is it? Oops, there goes the radio. You don't want that coming out of your paycheck.
Thanks.
So how asinine is it that, again, we can honor the river, celebrate the river, embrace the river, become one with the river, that really what we're talking about is really kind of a whole paradigm shift. You know, we're really about transformative change. And so even though the developers may own the land, I like to say they don't own the airspace. They don't own the intellectual capital. They're not thought leaders. They're not transformative thinkers. They want to build an outhouse on the river. And yet here's an opportunity even for us. And so we move forward to talk about personhood of the Mississippi, which the great Mississippi is, you know, one of the more profound rivers. I mean, you more so than I value it, given your assignment that you're here, that you recognize the magnitude of this river, the history of this river, how formative it has been in terms of the culture of this country and the world. And we believe that that has incredible value and that it can be the heart and soul of a vision. And so we're moving forward to join the Maori people, to join the people in Ecuador, the people in Chile, to really say, you know, that if we really want to stave the tides of global warming and climate change, then we really have to reassess and realign our values and realize that the river is not just a dumping ground, that it's not just a sewer, you know, that otherwise if we don't change that way that we embrace the river, internalize its value, then we will continue to act as we have so for so very long, that it's just an accessory, it's just, you know, a piece of valuable real estate, but we will still discredit it, we will still, you know, erode its value. And so given the fact that we want to join forces with those thought leaders around the world, led by in many cases indigenous people, because indigenous people, more so than many of the other cultures, really have a profound spiritual connection to water, connection to the river, as, you know, evidenced by Standing Rock and water walkers and much of the work that they're doing. And so we know that you can't really have an honest, you know, inclusive conversation without including indigenous leadership, and in particular the Dakota people, who this was their homeland, even though Ojibwe people acknowledge and recognize and defer to that. And so how can we really take this personhood as a tool to really join forces with indigenous leadership from around the world to help guide us, to help lift us up, and to really look at how can we raise the bar, how can we raise the expectation, and how can we raise our awareness. And so this whole personhood is our effort to do that so that we can join, that we can be in that number with all these folks around the world who are already now coming to realize that you can't, that to discount the river, to discredit the river, to disrespect the river is really to disrespect the water and disrespect your ancestors.
Yeah. So we're partners in this, right? We're down here. We're your partners in this endeavor by being here and recognizing the Mississippi and trying to...
Exactly. That's what I found so amazing about this project. You know, where they say the native son is never recognized in his own hometown. And so here again, Prince, Jimmy Jam, Terry Lewis, you know, Sounds of Blackness, Alexander O'Neill, all of those folks who in the 90s created us the Minneapolis sound, that they should be the inheritors of that sound, and they should be the ones who are carrying this torch and extending it to their children and their children's children, rather than allowing Dana Franks and some outside developer to come in and devalue it and extract that wealth and actually export this culture. And that's cultural appropriation, and we really want to acknowledge it. So we see this Upper Harbor, this 48 acres and a mule, as a way to really bring indigenous people and African Americans together to talk about reparations, to bring the today it was the climate strike, to bring the Minnesota Can't Wait Youth of America with the whole global warming and climate change. How do we bring these forces together so that we can ignite and really start an international movement where we can really honor the river, honor our ancestors, and honor the water?
Thank you very much, Michael.
Well, thank you.
That was great.
I look forward to hearing it. Thank you for your work and